Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, we're continuing on the topic of trust. And, you know, Pastor Sam kind of kicked it off earlier in the week by discussing about the rich young man who had everything, had obeyed, but wasn't able to let go. In essence, he wasn't able to trust. A year ago, almost exactly a year ago, it was Micah's third birthday. And an activity that I wanted to do at his birthday party for his friends, I stuffed a piñata. It's a kind of, you know, it's a cultural Mexican, you know, celebration. It's you know, it's a giant paper made animal, and they stuff candy inside of it. And then the kids will hit it. You'll blindfold them, and they'll spin the piñata, and then you'll hit it and whatnot. And they each got a shot. And eventually, the piñata breaks, and all this candy came out. And Micah ran to where the point, like literally hundreds of candies are coming out. He ran to the pile. He picked up one Tootsie Roll. And for like 5 minutes, he just focused on trying to open that one piece, while everyone around him was you know, grabbing handfuls and handfuls and filling it into his bag. And so I went to Micah. I was like, Micah, look, everyone's taking all the candy, you know. Just eat that later and you know, go and fill your bag. And he would not listen. He was so focused, so intent on that one piece. You know, kind of like that instant gratification. I have to have it now. You know, everything around me, the world just shut down. And so, you know, it was a reminder to me how sometimes, you know, we're so consumed by something, you know, whether in a season or a particular event, that we're so focused on it, and sometimes we lose sight of the things going around us. And when God asks us to let go, it's like letting go of the world, right? He's not just asking you to let go of one aspect or one part of your life, but some things we're so consumed by that it feels like I'm giving up my life and it's just this, or I'm giving up my world and it's just this. One aspect, the aspect of trust that I really wanted to focus on today, you know, there's a lot of ways you can show trust, right? You can take a step of faith, you can you know, give, you can you know forgive someone. But one aspect that I really want to focus on today is simply the letting go part. You know, showing God that you trust Him, trust in Him, by simply letting go. And for each of us, you know, that it could be something different. It could be possessions, it could be certain comforts, it could be power, it could be authority, it could be a particular preference, it could be plans, right? And here's the thing about trust. You know, when we talk about trust in God, it's not just the one-time done deal. I'm not talking about the God, I trust in you, I give my life to you, therefore I have eternal life, okay, I'm done. When I talk about trust, I'm talking about the day-to-day encounters, the daily endeavor of letting go and letting God, okay? And the perfect example of this is Abraham. You know, when I, you know, as I was, you know, studying and meditating, you know, particularly in the chapters between 12 and 15, right? And I have several accounts here. Now Abraham wasn't perfect, so I'm not promoting that he never made any mistakes or whatnot. You know, several things that really stick out is when he lied to the, you know, kings of Egypt or whatnot, or different rulers as he was going through with his wife Sarah. You know, in that aspect, he didn't really trust God. He lied, right? He took matters into his own hands. He fabricated. And so, you know, a little mess came out about there. You know, the very first thing that God asked him to do was to leave your home, your family, your country. Right, and even in that, he took Lot with him. So in that sense, even, you know, wasn't a full act of obedience. You know, and eventually, even after God had brought the promise, had spoken to him that you would have a son, right? You know, after a period of time and some discussion and, you know, logically making sense, maybe this is what God wanted for us. Well, what exactly did he say? And again, taking matters into his own hands, and then having a wife with a, or having a child with his maidservant, or you know, his wife's maidservant, Hagar, right? And a whole nother mess, and that's a whole nother story. So in no way is Abraham perfect, right? He has flaws, you know, he makes mistakes, but at the same time, man, he has incredible acts of faith. And in essence of letting go, and you don't have to turn there, but I'll just make a few references. In chapter 12, verse 4, right? You know, the very beginning, he leaves home, right? He has trust enough, faith enough that he can leave home, that he can leave it behind, that he can let go of his comforts, let go of the social support network that he has, the you know, comforts of his home cooking food and the places that he grew up as a child or whatnot. Okay, in chapter 13, verse 9, I will look at this one real quick. And this is a passage that we read. And you know, I've read this so many times, and you just kind of look past it. But who in this day and age, right? Like if you're a president of a company, or if you're the one that possesses the greater wealth, if you're the one that possesses, you know, the favor anointing, who in this day and age gives the preference to the lesser? Right? I mean, if you consider what he did, Abraham is the one who has the calling. Abraham is the one who has the anointing. Abraham is the one who has a favor. And yet in verse 9, then Abraham said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me." This is his nephew, right? "Nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers." And then in verse 9, sorry, that was verse 8. "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then..." He's basically saying, "You choose." Right? He submitted himself. He relinquished. He let go of what was rightfully his. And he gave priority or preference to the younger, you know, relative. And even in this simple act, it totally, you know, outlines the amount of faith and trust that Abraham has. To him, I mean, you know, we're talking about property, right? We're not talking about a meal or a rotation or some kind of, you know, we're talking about property, you know, long-lasting prosperity for you and for your generations, an inheritance, literally. But Abraham can let it go. Why? Trust. Because he trusts in God, a seemingly big deal is not a big deal. Because in comparison to the promise, the land that God has prepared for him, this is just beans, right? It's perspective. He's able to let it go. And so you kind of read through this, "Oh, no big deal." Oh, yeah. But you got to catch it. It's ingrained in him, in his lifestyle, in his daily decisions, that he can let it go because he trusts in God. Amen? So you know, another account in chapter 14, verse 21 to 23, a king, I can't give you all the context, but he basically offers to Abraham to take some of the goods. And this is his response, okay, or this is the context. "And the king of Sodom said to Abram, 'Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself.' And Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal, thong, or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich.'" In this particular case, what is he letting go? He's letting go of a golden opportunity. Right, an opportunity for him to gain, to possess. And again, outlined in this is the fact that he trusts in God, that he absolutely trusts in God's provision so much that when someone is able to present, you know, something quite measurable in success or gain, again, he's able to let it go, right? And you know, the ultimate example is even when God provides his son Isaac. Again, right? At that moment, in that hour, he's able to take his son Isaac literally. And you know, if you read it, it says that Abraham bound Isaac, right? I mean, he wasn't just playing. He bound him so that Isaac could not struggle and run away when dad pulls out, you know, the next step of the deal. And so again, you know, I thought about this. What's the thought process going, you know, through Abraham's head as he's sacrificing what God had promised? And a preacher once said, and I adopt this, you know, I subscribe to his thinking, is Abraham had such faith that even if he took Isaac's life, that one or two things, that God would bring him back to life. That's the type of faith that he had in God. That God promised that God won't go against his word because of the encounters and the experiences relationally that Abraham had had with God. He knew that God wouldn't go against his word. He knew that God would provide. And so even if it meant, take to the point of, cutting flesh, to the point of blood, God would restore, God would reconcile, God would bring it back. And so his faith, his trust in letting go of his son, in the context of all the examples I gave, again, he had such faith. And two key things. Okay, so I just kind of highlighted, these amazing acts of faith. And obviously, he also had struggles. There's areas where, he didn't really obey and had some weaknesses. But two key things, and you should really notice as you read through chapters 12 and 15 and probably beyond. But as I was reading this, two things stuck out to me. One, on at least three accounts, if not more, God comes to Abraham and encourages him. Right? There are parts in Abraham's journey where God obviously knew or sensed, Abraham's not right in the heart, or Abraham's carrying a heavy burden. And so God comes, through an angel, through a word, and he comforts him, saying, do not worry or don't be afraid. Or, hey, I'm going to provide you a son. Or, hey, go, I'm going to take care of everything. And so God is coming on the scene through these journeys, encountering Abraham and speaking to him and encouraging him. And two, as a response, Abraham, on at least three or four, if you go through the whole book, probably more, probably 10 times, as a response, he's setting up altars, right? He's setting up monuments to remember and to worship. And so what's going on here? God's coming, encouraging, Abraham's setting up altars. It's relationship. In the midst of all the things that's going on, God is coming, speaking to him. Abraham is setting altars, worshiping him. It's relationship. It's a relationship between God and Abraham. In essence, to kind of wrap this thing up, trust comes, right, when relationship is established. Now, in verse 15 and 6, I won't go into too much detail, but Tim Keller had given a message on this before where, 15:6. Let me actually read that. In verse 5, and he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So in this time, in this context, there is no sinner's prayer. You can't say, oh, by the blood of Jesus, I confess my sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me. That dynamic is not in place where anyone can call. So then the question is, how are you saved? How is one deemed righteous, or how is one deemed, how did people in the Old Testament get to heaven? Right? It was based on relationship. It was based on believing in the word of God and in trusting in God. And so here it says in verse 6, then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So in relationship, as you had communication and as you acted out in obedience, God deemed it righteous or deemed you righteous in relationship to him. And so that's how he's saved. I won't go into the Tim Keller illustration. And so, as I'm personally preparing to go to Beijing, there's a thought process involved. It's easy for me to say, it's easy for us to say in any given situation, yeah, God, I trust you, right? But as I mentioned earlier, it's not just a one-time deal. God, I trust you now. I'm in the book. I have eternal life. Everything's good. It's, trusting God, letting go is a daily endeavor. It's a daily encounter and experience with God. And so for me to say, yeah, God, I trust you, I can go to Beijing. Right. Consider this. How many of you guys have gone up a high dive, right? Climbed up like a two-story high dive, right? Or how many of you guys have gone bungee jumping, or maybe jumping out of an airplane, right? Skydiving, right? Well, I haven't done bungee jumping or skydiving because I have kids, and I wouldn't put myself in those situations. But I have done high diving, I think like once. It's scary. Like, you know, from the bottom, looking up, it doesn't look like that big of a deal, even a one-story or a two-story deal. But as you're climbing up, so you can say in your mind, right, in my mind, yeah, I trust. I have complete faith. I know that water's going to catch me. I know I'm not going to die unless I like slip and hit my head or something and something, you know, like freakish. But I trust and I believe in that water. I have absolute confidence that when I go up there and when I jump, that the water is soft enough and when it'll catch me, I'll be able, and I know how to swim, I'll come back up. So this idea or knowledge of trust is there. But let me tell you something. When you're on that top board and looking down, whatever you knew or whatnot, it's what I'm saying is it's not trust until you jump, right? You know trust, you believe or say you understand, but the point when you get up to the point where you have to jump, you have no real trust other than in your head until you jump. And so in this Beijing process, you know, it's something I've been praying about for 6 months. It's something I have to consider for another 6 months. You know, I'll be honest with you. I said, God, I trust you, but there were a lot of things going on inside my heart that I hadn't really trusted. You know, whether it be, my children's, like, long-term health, you know, seriously, like, every other day I'm thinking, oh, man, the air in Beijing is so terrible, right? And consider this, right? You know, leaving Hong Kong is not an easy thing. Right, Hong Kong is in terms of like comforts and stuff. In terms of what I have right now for my kids and for the long term, man, I feel like I have everything. You know, I can provide, and my kids have all the greatest opportunities. You know, before them, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know, in Beijing, literally, I don't know what it's gonna look like. I don't know what schools they're gonna go to. I don't know what. So there's a lot of stuff personally that I'm processing, and so I can say, God, yeah, I trust you, but here's the key. God can't begin to work and kind of churn and bring me to a place where I need to let go until I bring it to him in communication, right? Until I have relationship with him, until I literally get here on my knees and speak it out. God, this is a concern of mine. So it's one thing to say, God, I trust you, I trust you. Yeah, this is, you know, Beijing, oh, you're going to take care of me. Oh, you know, like music in the background. Right? But it's not until I get down on my knees and say, God, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I literally struggle with it. And God speaks to me. And one encounter after another, one relational encounter after another, God brings that peace. But still, it's not until I get on that plane, pack my bags, and get my kids that I can really say, God, I trust you. Do you see how that works? Right? In essence, you know, faith, you know, in, you know, having faith in God, having trust in God, you know, is letting go. And so that's the, you know, gist of what I'm trying to say. You know, is there something, right, that you can't let go? Is there something that you've said, yeah, God, I trust you, but you really haven't fleshed it out? You really haven't gotten to the point where you're ready to jump, right? You've said a lot of things, but you've gotten to that point and you haven't really jumped, but you've said it. And so maybe God is calling us this season or this week or this day even, saying, you know, let it go, right? Trust me. Haven't I taken care of you before? Don't you have everything you need right now outside of all the other things that you think you need? Amen? So let's bow our heads. So, you know, just to share a little more personal, you know, I have a lot of reasons why I'm not going to Beijing. You know, I have a lot of reasons why I don't want to go. But I have greater reasons why I am going to Beijing. Man, because God is going to, you know, unfold things in my life that he has planned, that he, you know, that people have prophesied over it. And yeah, there's fear, of course, you know, the unknown. But man, there's also excitement and joy, right? You know, to be honest, this is like, it's like I'm leaving home twice, You know, out of college, out of seminary, you know, I thought it was this big, grand decision that I was making. I'm leaving my country. I'm leaving my home. You know, and I'm going to the unknown. And to be honest, that was such an easy decision. Right? God called it. He put it on me. But part of it is, you know, I just got out of seminary, man. I had no money. I had nothing. I had no family. I had no wife. There wasn't much to give up other than my own life. But here I am now, and it's like, you know, it's like I got to leave home twice. And here's how I look at it. It's twice the blessing. You know, rarely do people give up their life even once. You know, and some do that. But here I have an opportunity to give up my life twice. To leave home twice. Right? And you guys are in the same situations, you know, day in and day out, week in, you know, year and year out, seasons and seasons out. You know, you have an opportunity to let it go again. You know, relationships, you know, comforts, you know, how we spend our funds, you know, forgiving others. It's not a one-shot deal. It's a day-to-day endeavor. It's relationship. And today, this morning, the Spirit is speaking to you saying, hey, I know you've made a lot of preparation, and I know you've thought about it a lot, and I know in your heart, God is saying, genuinely, I believe, I know you're sincere. But maybe today is the day where you actually jump, where you actually say, yeah, I can let it go because I believe and I trust God. Let's just meditate on that this morning as Monica leads us in a song of worship.
Regrets, all my acclaims,
first prayer point this morning. Let's just pray for Ken Ye, who's in Japan. Let's just pray, covering over him, that God will provide him with just awesome fellowship. You know, he doesn't have a lot of people his age. And so, you know, the worship services and whatnot are a bit different than what we have here at SP. So just pray that he would really have sweet fellowship with God, and that God would just raise him up and really bless his ministry and the relationships and the things that God's called him there. Let's also pray for Bhutan. Let's pray covering over John. You know, they're sending a team out, or we're sending a team out to coach basketball in January. And there are two or three individuals or whatnot, and everything's not set yet. But if you could just pray for grace over the situation, that God would really use John and the team members to really bless Bhutan, to really bless Tom Bonner and his ministry there. So let's just cover those two mission topics this morning. Let's pray. Secondly, let's pray for the leaders in our church, all the ministry leaders. Let's start from with Pastor Sam, his family, myself, the children's ministry, missions committee, for Pastor Nate, the youth group and worship team. Let's pray for the welcoming committee heads, mission committee members, the board of directors, the house church leaders in the season as they rest. Media team, IP team, Cascade. So, let's just pray covering over each person, that God would just bless them, that God would just recharge them, that God would fill them, right? That God would carry them. A lot of them probably need a bit of carrying these days. That God would just carry them. And while we're praying for the leaders and the ministries, let's also pray, in this season, it's a well-known fact, a lot of depression, a lot of loneliness, especially as Thanksgiving and Christmas rolls around and stuff, and some of the highest suicides rates during the year, right? So let's just pray that in our church, that us individually, that our ministries would really reach out to those, even core members that we think are fine, and especially those who are on the fringes, right? That we would just really minister to them. Ministry isn't a Sunday thing or a committee thing, right? It's an everyday thing. It's the people that God puts around us. So let's just pray for our leaders, pray for our ministries, pray for the people in our church in this season. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for this weekend, just all the events and services that we have. Let's cover the EG retreat. Pastor Sam is going tonight just for an awesome time and an awesome encounter, right? A relational encounter that people will walk away tonight and say, wow, God, you're amazing. And they'll go home and they'll set up an altar in their heart or in their mind, and something that they'll always be able to look back on and always know that God will move in them forward. So let's just pray for tonight's retreat, Pastor Sam, as he leads it, that the presence of God would dwell heavy in that place. Let's pray for the IP has a kind of closing out of the year worship service, kind of a celebration. Let's just pray for Gia and the leadership there. Let's cover the youth group as they meet this Saturday, over Pastor Nate and the teachers, and you know, they got new plans and things for the new year. So let's just pray anointing over them, that God would just really give them a call, and that they would step firmly without any doubt, and that God would just bless them with 50 more kids next year. Let's pray for Sunday school. You know, we have a little Christmas song. It's going to be awesome. Let's pray that nobody gets hurt. And let's just pray covering over the service Pastor Sam is leading. We have a missions committee meeting on Sunday, a board of directors meeting on Sunday as well. So let's just cover all the ministries, all the events, things going on this weekend. Let's pray. And also pray for Febe and Pastor Salamat and his Sunday service. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning. And God, you know, myself and each one of us here, God, it's our prayer. God, we gladly let it go. God, we humbly, Lord, we kneel down before you. And God, with joy, God, we gladly let it go. And Lord, we thank you so much that we can always look to you for the greatest example. God, you left your home. You know, you gladly let that go. You know, you came to earth and you had all this authority and power. You gladly let it go. You could have established, you know, an awesome earthly kingdom. And Lord, you let that go. And Lord, you let go of, your relationship with God for however many days, however many hours. God, because we know that you had our salvation in mind. But above that, because you loved your Father in heaven and you trusted your Father in heaven. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we want to say the same thing, that we trust our Father in heaven and that we're willing to let go. We're willing to jump. In fact, we're excited to jump. God, we bless your name today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.